Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Revelation 21 at the very end of the Bible is where we're going to be today. We kicked this off 2 weeks ago in this chapter of the Bible, but for about a month now, we have been talking about the subject of heaven from the Bible. And so I got to be honest with you, if you're coming in hot today, like straight to church for the first time in this series, you're going to want to probably go online to crosschurch.com and watch the few messages that lead up to this, because it will help you have a little bit more context, even to what we're talking about today. As Nick just said, we try to give you every time we have just where we know what the Bible's about to take us towards. And next week, we're going to simply talk about how do I get to heaven. And so we've been talking about all these different aspects of heaven. We don't want to miss like the baseline, how do we get to heaven? And so next week, we'd encourage you to bring somebody with you that doesn't know Christ personally. We try to just give you a heads up, man. This is a time to bring people, as Nick just told you. So I hope you'll come back next week. If you're a follower of Jesus as well, John 14 is where we're going to be. Got some great stuff for you in that passage as well. We have been talking about heaven, as I just said, and we've been talking about the biggest misconception. I've said this again and again and again. The biggest misconception about heaven is that we're going to spend eternity up there and not spend eternity down here. But God has given us his word, which tells us that he is bringing about a new heaven and a new earth. He's creating that for us. And so we are in the midst of that. As I said, we began that 2 weeks ago. We're talking today about what is the new Jerusalem. We're talking about the city of God is how often this is talked about. And Luke Harper texted me last night and said, you know where the city of God is? The city of God is any city where Alabama loses. Amen? So last night, the city of God was College Station, Texas. Anytime Bama loses, an angel gets its wings. Amen? You know, just always a good thing there. And so we're talking about the new Jerusalem today. And again, we left off in verse 8 last week, 2 weeks ago. We'll continue that today and even bleed a little into chapter 22. Let me remind you, the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, is a vision that God gave the apostle John about things that were to come. So he's speaking about heaven and about the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And so we're going to talk today about all of that. We're going to cover large chunks of scripture today. So just heads up, I hope you came prepared to just listen closely. If you got something to take notes with, this is a great series to take notes with because we just got a lot of content here. So let's kick off here, right here in Revelation 21, verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, do not worry. We'll throw all of these verses here on the screen for you today, okay? Here's what he says. It says, then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. So that's what we're talking about today. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to earth. It says, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. Verse 14, and on the wall of the city, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Everybody take a deep breath. Okay, that's a lot right there, okay? We could spend the rest of our time and a few weeks, honestly, talking about each one of these things. I'm going to try to keep us progressing, try to keep us moving throughout it. So let me give you the main aspects and the main points of this, okay? The picture that God gives us here in the scriptures is that of a city that's coming down from heaven to serve as the center of the new earth, okay? This is pictured even as a bride coming down. Remember your wedding day, everybody, if you're married in the room today? You remember when your wife walked down the aisle or you as the bride walked down the aisle? That's what the Bible's saying here. This city is like a bride coming down. Author N.T. Wright wrote a book about heaven-related things called Surprised by Hope. He writes about it this way. He says, heaven and earth, it seems, are not after all poles apart needing to be separated forever when all the children of heaven have been rescued from this wicked earth. No, they are different, radically different, but they are made for each one in the same way as male and female. And when they finally come together, that will be a cause for rejoicing in the same way that a wedding is. He's writing about this type of thing right here, this story of the New Jerusalem coming down. Let me put this in English, okay? We are witnessing in this passage the culmination of a relationship. You got the people of God living in the city of God in the presence of God, okay? This passage describes looking at the outside. So imagine the city, we're over there. We are looking at the outside of the city in these few verses. The Bible describes the New Jerusalem like this. It's radiant. It's a picture of the glory of God, beautiful like jasper, which is like a quartz material, and crystal. This is a city with high walls and 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. Later in the passage, it's going to tell us that these gates are not closed, okay? So we've got a new heaven, new earth, and a new Jerusalem, okay? So a brand new universe that God has renewed or even resurrected like we've talked about. And at the center is this new Jerusalem, and the gates are always open. So I believe that we will actually be not just in the New Jerusalem for all of eternity, but we'll be entering in and out of the city. We'll have a universe to explore, and the gates are never closed, but you can go in and out. Randy Alcorn writes it this way. By the way, here's what you got to understand. This will be the most beautiful city you've ever seen. So if you can just picture, if I were to ask you, what's the most beautiful city you've ever been to? You're like, Johnson, Arkansas. Okay, that's not it, okay? Think of the most beautiful city you've ever seen. I love Johnson, by the way. It's going to be a million times better than that city, whatever's in your mind. Randy Alcorn writes it this way. He says, people have told me they can't get excited about the New Jerusalem because they don't like cities. Anybody be honest with that? Not a city person. That's why you live in Arkansas. He says, but this city will be different. It will have all the advantages we associate with earthly cities, but none of the disadvantages. The city will be filled with natural wonders, magnificent architecture, thriving culture. If you think you hate cities, you'll quickly change your mind when you see this one. Imagine moving through the city to enjoy the arts, music, and sports. Come on, somebody. Without pickpockets, drugs, or prostitution. Imagine sitting down to eat and raising glasses to toast the king who will be glorified in every pleasure we enjoy. Can you imagine that? He says the priceless stones, or every feature of the city speaks of his attributes. The priceless stones speak of his beauty and grandeur. The open gates speak of his accessibility. All who wish to come to him at his throne may do so at any time. The whole universe will be God's house, and the new Jerusalem will be his living room. Not a great way to say it. It gives us a little bit of a different perspective than as we've joked about, than the common perception of heaven, that we're all spirit babies in diapers floating from cloud to cloud for all of eternity, right? Man, we'll have a city to enjoy, a universe to explore, and everything that we are doing is to the glory of God the Father, who will be glorified in every pleasure that we enjoy. We will have a city here, all in the presence of God. What's your favorite city in the world? If I were to ask you that, where do you like to go? Okay, my parents were from Texas, so they've kind of raised us to love the Texas city. So Meredith and I lived in Dallas. We always love going back home to Dallas. I love San Antonio. My grandparents live near San Antonio, the Riverwalk, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. Went to San Diego once. That weather was unbelievable. I love New York City, Chicago, Florida's fun, you know, 30A, all that. Like, there's all these things. So imagine what that is for you. Again, heaven will be immensely better than that city. The new Jerusalem will be a million times better, like I said, than the city that you have in mind right now. John continues, and he begins to talk about how big this city. By the way, if you've never heard how big the New Jerusalem is. I'm just going to prepare you. Just get prepared. Like, it's about to blow, okay? I want to give you a fair warning so you're not falling out in church today, okay? Here's what he goes on, verse 15. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and its width and its height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, again, by the way, I'm going to say these really quick, confidently, that way you don't know that I don't know how to pronounce them, okay? The fourth, emerald, the fifth, onyx, the sixth, carnelian, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Again, we are seeing the picture of beauty that can only be imagined. Built of jasper, pure gold like clear glass, every kind of jewel. Ladies, are you excited about that? Every kind of jewel and pearls. Can we just stop for a second? Like, this is one of those series as we're reading all this about heaven where you just have to stop at moments and say, okay, I'm not just going to read it. I'm going to honestly just imagine, what is this city like? Made of gold, clear glass, emeralds, every kind of jewel. Can you imagine the glory of this city? Like I said, this passage also tells its size. And some of you, like we've said, you know, you're not a city person. And the idea of even a New Jerusalem that will kind of be in and out of, you're like, man, this is not what I'm all about. This is just claustrophobic. Is this going to be like New York City where I'm in a 500 square foot apartment for all of eternity and I have people all around me all the time? Nick, I don't like people and I got to go to heaven with people and all that kind of stuff. Let me give you some perspective, okay? The city is a cube, if you didn't recognize that while the Bible was describing it today. Between 1,400 and 1,500 miles wide, 1,400 and 1,500 miles high. So the city's a cube. Many of you have heard the name W.A. Chrisley, pastored First Baptist Dallas for years. He once described it in terms that we can maybe understand a little easier. He says, it is a city that would be as large as from Maine to Florida, but it also has breadth and height. It is a city that would cover all of Ireland and England and Great Britain and France and Spain and Germany and Austria and Italy and a European Turkey. I don't know why he says it that way. And one half of all Russia. And the height of it is built by street levels and by stories. And the height of it is as great as the length and the breadth. It is a vast, vast city. You getting that picture today? Someone once said this is a huge continent all by itself. Another scholar believes that billions could be there. Billions. With every person having a few square miles to themselves. And all the introverts said, amen, right? Like, gonna have some space, okay? I told you it was 1,500 miles wide or high. Someone once estimated that could be potentially 600,000 stories. Pretty amazing, right? Somebody came up to me after the first service when I was in the lobby and they said, all right, Nick, I just got one question. Always makes me nervous, by the way. And he said, is there going to be traffic in heaven? So, you know, a lot of people here, I was like, well, I don't know. Either there will be, but we won't care, or there won't. I don't know, okay? But can you imagine the elevator wait times on 600,000 floors? I mean, that's be interesting to see how this all plays out, right? Here's the point, y'all. You will not be cramped in the New Jerusalem, okay? There's plenty of room to space out. Keep on reading. Verse 22. He says, and I saw no temple in the city. Now that should kind of spark your mind like, what? I thought this was heaven. No temple in the city. For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, we've been looking at the outside of the city. Those verses take us inside the city. So what is the description here? If you're a note taker, get ready. I'm going to like categorize these based on what we just read, okay? Each one of these has a symbolic meaning. Number one, mark of the New Jerusalem. There's no temple. Why? Because God is with us. There's no temple because God is with us. You may think that heaven is going to be one long eternal worship service. And again, that's why you're not excited about going to heaven. You're like, Nick, sometimes I can be honest, man, I get bored in your sermons. Like, listen, I get bored in my sermons sometimes too, okay? Heaven is more than just one long eternal worship service in the temple or in the church. There will be no temple there because we will be with God personally. Isn't that incredible? You got to think about it. The Old Testament temple was a foreshadowing of what Christ would one day do to us. Even we don't need a priest because we got the great high priest. You know what I'm saying? And even points beyond what Christ has done for us, and it's pointing even ahead to where this will be the ultimate reality one day in glory. So no temple because God is with us. Here's the second mark. There's no sun or moon because God lights it. There's no sun or moon because God lights it. The glory of God lights it up. Jesus, the Lamb, the Bible says here, is the lamp. Now just pause and just imagine that. Like, what is that saying? Does it mean that Jesus has a little switch? You know, is it that? It doesn't mean that, obviously. But the radiance of the nature of Christ, the glory of God, like just imagine beams of light that come off the person of Jesus that light up the New Jerusalem. Isn't this cool? Some of you hate nighttime. It's when fear arises in your heart. You lay in bed for hours at night, worrying about what will happen the next day or in the future. Some of you get depressed at night, discouraged at night, and literally what some people enjoy, like, okay, finally, we can relax. You hate because it just brings about a lot of things. In heaven, there's no night. Isn't that cool? Jesus, the Lamb, is the lamp. Third mark, it says this, that the gates are never shut because there is no night. Gates are never shut because there is no night. Now, you may read those two things together and you're like, well, Nick, that doesn't make sense. We've just talked about there's no more night, so what does that have to do about the gates? You got to think ancient culture here, okay? In the ancient world, a city would have walls, and at a certain time in the evening, they would close the gates of the city. Why? Because it was a protective measure to keep the enemy out there and not in here, just with open access to the city. Here's what the Bible means. When there's no more night, here's what that means. There's no evil. There's no night, meaning there's no need for protection from outside forces, and the gates are always open, again, representing just open access to God. Whenever you want to be in the presence of God, you just go. Really cool. Fourth thing, it says that the kingdoms are represented all under God's authority. Kingdoms are represented all under God's authority. This is a reference to all of the Christian kings, queens, and rulers throughout all of history who in some way will bring the glory of their nation into the city, but all under the authority of Christ. So think about this. Let's just go our own country, okay? I'm not going to name who I think are Christian presidents and not Christian presidents. I'm sure it'd be entertaining, but would get me in a lot of trouble, okay? But let's just imagine every Christian president that knew the Lord. In some way, they are bringing the glory of the United States. Like, they're bringing in the picture of the might and power of that nation into the New Jerusalem, all under the authority of Christ. You think beyond our own country, think about every ruler of every kingdom, every man, every woman who sat in a place of authority, who they knew Jesus in this life. They will come in to the New Jerusalem, but they are under the authority of Christ. Really, really fascinating, right? It says a final thing, there's nothing unclean, but only those who are saved, only those who are Christians. So New Jerusalem has no sin, no wickedness, no evil people. It's only occupied by those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We talked about this book a few weeks ago. I'll just reiterate that if you're new today. Lamb's Book of Life is a spiritual book. It's a book referenced in the book of Revelation that has the names of every person throughout history who has ever bowed the knee to God in faith, who has ever said, Jesus, I turn away from a life of sin and I put my faith and trust in you, and they have been saved, or they become a Christian is what it's often called. Every one of those names is written in what's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Lamb's Book of Life is a book of, we could say, affirmation of those who have trusted Christ by faith, but it is also a book of judgment. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you do not enter into heaven, but you enter into hell. So nobody in the New Jerusalem is without their name in the Book of Life. And so I just pause for a second. Just ask you here today, I know we've got people watching online today as well. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Like, you got to settle that at some point in your life. I'm not asking if you've been to church some in your life. I'm not asking if you've been a good moral person or you've done some good deeds here and there. I'm asking, have you ever heard what Christ has done for you on the cross? And as a response to that, you've said, you know what, I'm not living this way anymore. I'm not living for myself and I'm not living for sin, but I'm turning a back on all of that and I'm turning in faith to Jesus, knowing that he's the only one that can save me. If that's never happened in your life, I got to be honest with you, your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the glory of the gospel is this, man, it can be. All you got to do is exactly what I said. You got to turn from a life lived for sin and turn in faith to Christ, and you can be saved even here today. Man, what better day to be saved than today? That's what I tell you. Don't wait till next week. Just do it today. You getting the picture of the New Jerusalem here? Let me try to sum it up, okay? It's marked by the presence of God, perfect and complete fellowship. There's no sin or wickedness anywhere to be seen. Sound good to anybody else? Anybody else in the program of like, Lord Jesus, let's just do this today? Like, I got a bad meeting tomorrow, or I got some stuff going on. I got a test tomorrow, biology, Lord. Could you just please come back real quick and let's just get this all this in motion, right? Chapter 22 continues this picture of the New Jerusalem. We'll close with these last few verses right here. Look at the beginning of chapter 22. It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. If you got a pen in your Bible right there, I would underline that phrase there. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, underline that phrase as well, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So, well, Nick, what does that mean? We're not exactly told, but in some way, the leaves of the tree of life will enhance heaven. Be interesting to see what that actually means one day. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need, just reiterating it, they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. It's pretty powerful, is it not? You remember when you were in like junior high, high school, maybe even in your, those of you in college, you're in that weird state right now where you kind of like somebody and they like you, you start to hang out a little bit And you're like, okay, so what is this? And you're at home wondering, so when he said that tonight, what does that mean about us? You know, when I was in high school, we called that the DTR. You got to define the relationship, okay? You got to define, are we just talking? Are we dating? Are we boyfriend, girlfriend? Like, what exactly are we? Okay, I'm going to define, not the relationship, but let me define the terms today. Because if you just read quickly through and casually through the first four verses of Revelation 22, I think you miss it. So let me define two phrases as we close today, okay? Number one, the river of the water of life. And number two, the tree of life. So let me define what both of these mean, because they ultimately are pointing in the same direction. Both of these are actually references to the Garden of Eden. You may not realize that. So think about this. We're on the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, like literally at all the way to the right. And right here, God is saying, hey, you remember how this started? All the way back in Genesis, the Garden of Eden. Literally, if you've ever wondered, well, how far a distance is this in the writing of the Bible from the Garden of Eden until Revelation 22 was written? I almost fell off the stage right there. You got about 4,200 years. Can I just say it? Only God. Only God at the very end is saying, hey, and just while we're here, remember how this started? And he's just bringing everything together here at the conclusion of the Bible. What are these things pointing to? The river of the water of life. Let me start there. Here's what you need to know, that there will be a river flowing from the throne of God through the city. Did you get the picture? So God's throne in the New Jerusalem. Bible says there's a river flowing through the city from the throne. This river symbolizes eternal life and the purity that flows from God through the city. This is a picture of the satisfaction that we will experience eternally in Christ. It is an eternal picture of refreshment and the fulfilling nature of what we found in Christ. Isn't that cool? Tree of life, again, also points our minds back to the Garden of Eden. Tree of life was at the center of Eden. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they were no longer given access to that tree. Much like the river, the tree of life is a picture of satisfaction for the people of God and a symbol of eternal life. So here's how I've summed it up, okay? When you think about these two things, the river of the water of life and the tree of life, forever we will take a deep breath of satisfaction. It's like when you get done like eating at your favorite restaurant you haven't been to in 2 years, and you're in a certain city and you eat at a steakhouse or whatever it is, and you get done and you're like, oh my gosh, that, and you're loosening your belt. You're like, that was unbelievable. That was so refreshing. It's like a month ago running on the field after Arkansas beats Texas. And you get back in your car finally and you're like, this might have been the greatest night of my life, man. It's like your wedding day when you and your bride drive away from the church and like, gosh, that was amazing. I'm just naming like a few of the highs that we feel in this life that will pale in comparison to what we experience in the New Jerusalem. And for all of eternity, it's just this eternal satisfaction pictured in these two things of like, yeah, man, yeah, 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 yes. And we get a glimpse of that on this earth as believers, of the satisfaction that Jesus provides. But man, one day we will experience it in full. Today, if you've never trusted Christ personally, you probably feel that lack of satisfaction at some level in your life. You always seem to be bouncing from one thing to the next. You always think, well, if I could just get the promotion, if I could make more money, if I could have that role, if we could live in that neighborhood, maybe if we need to have another kid, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, and it's always something else, trying to long for satisfaction. You've tried to find it in a drink, you've tried to find it in sex, you've tried to find it in a drug, like you've tried to find it in all the things of this world, and you're still left empty. Guess what? It's because nothing in this world can ever satisfy you. But only Jesus Christ can. And here's the great hope of today. He will, if you'll turn to him. I'm going to invite the band to go ahead and make their way back out today. Our staff's going to just go ahead and make your way to the front of each aisle right here. We're going to operate a little bit differently today. I'm going to ask you just to reflect today. This whole passage is a passage of reflection. It's a passage to think about and go, man, golly, can you imagine what that's going to be like? We're going to sing a song about heaven. I just want you to be intentional about reading the words as the musicians sing it. And today, if you need Christ, at any point in this song, you can just stand up where you're at and just kind of make your way through the aisle and come to one of our men or women here who are on our staff. And they'll answer any question you have. They'll lead you to faith in Christ today. Maybe you're here today, you're just walking through difficulty. You just need someone to be a prayer partner for you. Just pray over something in your life. And you come during this song. We would love to minister to you in that way. Let's listen to these words. Lord Jesus, we trust you in these few moments to do what only you can. Would you point our minds, our hearts towards heaven today. Move in us in ways that only you can. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.